Sorry, I'm not as tall as Alan. Last time I preached, they said they couldn't see me, so I thought I'd better stand on this. In the 3 years of ministry that Jesus had while he was on earth, the people who heard him and who saw him faced a puzzle, really, that for virtually all of his ministry, people could just not really work out. So on the one hand, what they could see was that he was very obviously a human being who needed to eat and to sleep. If he wanted to go somewhere, just like we do, we get into our cars, well, he had to walk, and or sometimes crossing the lake had to go by boat. So just like an ordinary human being. However, he did, and he said things that no ordinary person would do. And that was a huge puzzle. In fact, he spoke and acted as if he had the full authority of God in the things that he did and said. Now, if we can have that on the screen, we've got a wonderful data projector person who's going to whip out part of the Old Testament reading. And just the next one. And so, no, that was the one, just back, yeah. That one, yeah. So what we were told in the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy 34, no prophet had ever arisen in Israel like Moses. And it went on to say, no one had ever shown the kind of power that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Well, there had been some one-off miracles in the Old Testament history there, that the prophet Elijah did a huge miracle, but it was kind of like a one-off miracle. There was no rain in Israel for 3 years when he prayed, God, don't let it rain until the time comes so your people will see you with a God. That was a huge miracle, but it was kind of like one-off. Whereas with Moses, day after day after day after day, for 40 years as he took them through the world, God was with him. They'd never had anybody like that. Well, the puzzle with Jesus was that he showed the same kind of mighty power as Moses had. It wasn't once or twice, but it was day after day after day after day he would heal people. There were at least three occasions we're told about where he would multiply bread, where there was a whole crowd of people feeding that whole crowd. We're told that he did some huge miracles like raising Lazarus to life. And if we went through and just saw day after day after day after day, these things, they had never had anybody like this, but Moses had been like that. But Jesus didn't stop there. So Moses instituted, under God's command, a very elaborate system of animal sacrifices where people were to understand they sinned. And they could not be in relationship with God without the forgiveness of their sins, so animals would be sacrificed. And Moses also needed the forgiveness of his sins. But Jesus spoke and acted as if he had no sin, as if there was no kind of barrier at all between God and himself. Now, this is astonishing. They'd never met anything like this. And he would speak as if he knew the answer to any question that anyone could ask about God. And we heard that kind of thing in our gospel reading. In the Old Testament law, the laws of Moses, there are hundreds of commandments. And they argued amongst themselves, which is the most important. So here in public, Jesus gets asked this question, which is the most important of all the commandments? And Jesus answered with not one, actually, but with two commandments, which in summary are love God and love your neighbour. And he went on to say, all the law and the prophets come from these two commandments? Well, Jesus' hearers probably were not 100% sure that he was right, but no one was ready to say he was wrong. No one tried to prove him wrong. And so Jesus then goes on and takes the next step and asks them a tricky question. And there's his tricky question that he says, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said, the son of David. So that was a really, really easy answer for them. But then, if there is the very next slide, then Jesus says, well, how come that David, speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, would call him Lord? You know, if he's his descendant, how could you call your descendant Lord? None of us here would treat our children as if they were much more important than what we are, that we would think of them as much the same as what we are. But to call him Lord, a whole nother level. If the Messiah is descended from David, how can David possibly call him Lord? And nobody could give him an answer. Well, I don't think myself Jesus was really into scoring points off people, because what this did do was show everybody they asked him questions that he answered. He asked them a question and they can't answer it. Shows he knows more than they do, huh? I don't think Jesus was ever into scoring points off people. I think he was telling them something about who he is, because the real answer to this is about Jesus. How can Jesus be descended from David? Well, he's descended from David through his mother, Mary. But how can he be more than that? Well, we're told in the beginning of Luke that Jesus was not conceived in the ordinary way, but the Holy Spirit came on Mary and she was conceived before she'd had any kind of relationship with any man. So Jesus was the Son of God, is the message, as well as a human being, God and man, truly a human being, but actually also the Son of God. And the rest of the New Testament goes on to provide a bit more information about that. And so if I just come out with a couple of examples, both from the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, we are told that Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet did not sin. So we've been told he really and truly is a human being, subject to all of the same kind of pressures and desires, maybe impulses to do things that are wrong, but he never gave in to them. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, it's in verse 3, we're told that Jesus, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory, like the sun's rays coming from the sun, and Jesus is the exact representation of his being. Now that's an astonishing thing to say about a person, the exact representation of God. And I think that means that whatever we see in Jesus is the attitude or the action of God in this situation. I think that Jesus spoke and did exactly what Jesus wanted in every situation that he was in. So what is the relevance of that for us today? And I think what it means is that whenever we come to Jesus, we are not actually coming just to a human being, we are coming actually to God. We are being connected with God. And so one of the ways, I think, in which we experience God's life and his truth through Jesus is that Jesus was the most inspiring of people and continues to inspire us. So if you are puzzled, or if I am puzzled by something and we come to Jesus and think, what should I do in this situation? We find that he guides us so that our understanding is lifted to a level where we know what we should do next. We get a bit inspired, give a thought, an idea, and whatever that is, it's always a good one and a helpful one. So I'm saying, I think that one of the ways in which we experience Jesus to be the Son of God is that he inspires us. that is an amazing piece that inspires us to be better than what we would otherwise have been. Now, a second way, I think, in which we experience God through Jesus is that when we are hurting, we've got some problem we can't handle. So we're a bit helpless, actually. We need to be rescued. And when we come to Jesus, I think we find that good things happen. But they happen in a way that leaves us feeling understood and deeply cared for. I think when we come to Jesus like this, not just in a one-off five-second prayer, but when we really come seeking him and we're feeling helpless in the situation we're in, we find something always happens that we could not have arranged ourselves, and something that is not just the power of positive thinking. The power of positive thinking does some good things, but when God acts, it does downright more than the power of positive thinking. Something happens. And our problem either gets reduced or it gets solved or we get shown a way past it. A third way, I think, in which we experience God when we come to Jesus is that this is not a one-off kind of thing now. This is when we have decided that we really want to be with Jesus all the time. So this is not just an impulse thing here at this camp, I'm going to follow Jesus, or for this next year I will follow. This is saying I want to be with Jesus for the whole of my life and be the best person I can be for the whole of my life. So we come to him every day and throughout every day. And when we do that, we find that we get just little impulses inside us that is his spirit. He puts his spirit inside us that gives us little prods and little feelings towards the things that he wants us to do and away from the things he doesn't want us to do. And the things that he wants us to do include not only kind things for other people, but also include things that will grow us as people into the fullness of the children of God that we have been created to be. So I'm saying I think we get grown not only in wisdom and in character, but I think we get grown in ability as well. And we're given opportunities to do new things which we find interesting and which most often end up helping other people as well. I became a Christian when I was somewhere about 20, and I discovered at that time that Jesus was not something, an idea that people just talk about, but that he's a person who's real, alive, and what's more, he cared about me. So that was a wonderful experience, and this discovery that God is real, it followed from that I was a person designed by God, not just like a speck of sand on the seashore, one amongst however many, 6 billion people, or however many it is in the world today, not just one among many, but a very specific person designed by God to do good things that make a difference in the world. Well, that was then. What happens now? And so it's continued across the years, but only this year it's still continuing, I'm telling you. A high school student from my last parish, where I was the vicar, and who I cared for across many years while I was there, he spoke to me and he said, could you give me some tutoring with my NCA studies? And how old am I? And NCA didn't exist when I was there. So I thought I have to say yes, but also I can't do it, you see. So I said yes and prayed, now, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he just gave me this little thought, you see. Ask your eldest grandson, who is a few years ahead at secondary school than this young guy here. And I did. I said to my oldest grandson, look, if you do this, we can drive, and you want to get your license, don't you? So this will give you practice driving and equip you to get your license. And so my grandson said yes. But what happened was on the way to that person's house, on the way back, we talked, you see.
So I didn't used to talk with my grandson every week, so we developed a bit of a really, really positive relationship. So I'm saying that because Jesus put this little challenge in front of me, are you going to help this person? And I thought I should. I think Jesus has blessed me by giving me a new kind of positive relationship with my grandson. So I have a much higher level of friendship with him than I had before, and that has kind of ricocheted on so that I also have a better relationship with his dad, who is my son. So I'm saying the Spirit of Jesus prompted me to do something, and when I did it, I got blessed. Just shows that it's not something up there, it actually alters our lives for the better. I experienced more of God's love for me. Someone is saying then that Jesus is a human being, but he's not just a human being. He's actually, in some way we can't comprehend, he's actually someone in whom we meet God himself. Now, no one can understand this, but I think we do experience it if we come to him for inspiration or help. And I've just found that his love is hugely greater and better than anything that anyone else can give me. And every day I think he helps us become a bit better as a person with a bit more ability to help others than we had before. So may that be your experience as well as mine. I just pray. So Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much that the faith that you teach and the way you bring us back to God is not just with books and things that are abstract in nature, but it's through a relationship with you in which we discover that we are loved, in which we discover month by month and year by year that we're loved actually more now than we were before, something that grows and gets better. And we pray that you will fill us with your Spirit to make us closer to you, and so may you grow us into the people you have designed and created us to be. Amen.